And so Pastor's been preaching, Pastor Roma's been preaching lately on casting your cares on the Lord. And you know, how many of you have been casting your cares on the Lord? Has the cares ever tried to creep back and come back? Yes, they continually come back. And you know, I was thinking this morning, you know, how people are going through tests and trials and temptations and all kinds of things. You know, thank God that God's given us an ability to have a sound mind in this life, because I tell you, the way that people go through things, my heart just absolutely breaks. I don't like it. I don't like pain. I don't like emotional pain. You know, I was just laughing with my wife the other day. I said to myself, you know, I'm going to think positive and I'm going to speak just positive words. You know, that's what I said to myself. No negativity coming out of me. Well, they almost kicked me out of the house. I had so much negativity coming out of my mouth, but yet I wanted to. I really meant it. I'm going to be a positive person. Brother Hagin said, he that loved life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips they speak no guile. And so I wanted to, but all of a sudden I seen everything. I seen piles of this and piles of that and this and that. So I say a few little words here and there. You know, just that's, hey, I'm a man of the house. I know what's going on. I want to keep order. And I tell you, you can get into some big trouble. Amen? So it's one of those things where we're continually growing. We're continually developing. It's a lifelong process. Your life. You know, you are a spirit. You possess a soul and you live in this house. Amen? This body is right here. I love my body, you know, oh, you chauvinistic pig. No, what, are you going to hate your body? Oh, I hate myself. I just hate myself. I hate it, I hate it, I hate it. No, you should be able to say, thank God, amen, I like hanging around with myself. I know that's bad, but if you don't like yourself, then you're in big trouble. You should be happy with the grace of God and the ability that He's placed on your life. You should say, thank you, Lord, I got salvation. Thank you, Lord, I'm saved and born again. Thank you, Lord, that you've begun a good work in me and you'll bring it unto completion. You know, He started a good work. He started in me years back, but when I finally humbled myself, everybody say, humbled myself. Each one of us have to come to a place where we humble ourselves before the Almighty Creator of the universe. Woo! And I love that. I absolutely love going to God. And if I've missed it and blown it, the Bible says, run quickly to the throne of grace that you may obtain mercy and find help in time of need. And so there's so many things. I'm just so grateful for my salvation and for the allowing God to continually work in me, because it's never over. Amen? It's never over until they put your name on a plate there and whatever they do with you, do with your body. Burn it up or put it in the grave. You know, I was one big one for no cremation. When I got born again, no cremation, no cremation. No, I tell you what, that's evil, that's wrong. I tell you, this body is so corrupt after so much sickness and disease. To me, it doesn't, that's just my own little theory anyway, sorry about that. But I couldn't care less either way. You know, your body is going to dissolve into a bunch of dust. If you blew up in a plane, it would be just particles everywhere. But yet God is able to grab all those particles, put them together, and give you a brand new body. New and improved, better than before. Amen. So this morning we want to talk about right thinking, right believing, and right speaking. We want to talk about right thinking, right believing, and right speaking. Because it's so vital and important for your life, my life, and the life of the believer that they say things in line with the Bible, with God's precious holy word. So in John 3:16, this simple scripture, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth, everybody say believeth, believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You know, we come to a place of believing in Jesus when we heard people say, when we heard people talk about the grace of God. Oh, Jesus died for you. He died on a cross for you. He shed his blood for you. I love my wife's testimony. Hopefully she doesn't get upset at me. But she was a mixed up teenager, a mixed up girl going with different guys, and they weren't me. But anyway, she was all mixed up, distraught, taking some counseling with different places, paying good money. And her sister said, why don't you come talk to the pastor? He won't charge you anything. Good old pastors, eh? Preachers, eh? Ah, they don't need any money. But anyways, come talk to him. He won't charge you anything. And she went and talked to him. She spilled their guts, every rotten detail of her life to him. He looked at her and he said, there's absolutely nothing wrong with you. All you need is a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. She said, what? I just shared all that information with you. And she prayed. I think of another man, that singer who sings Raindrops Keep Falling on My Head. What's his name? BJ. BJ Thomas, he said, 10 years of hell was solved in 20 minutes with God. Yeah. 20 simple minutes with God solved all those problems because you became a new creature in Christ Jesus. The old things were passed away, and behold, all things have become new. And that's the power of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we come to a place of believing. Every single one of us come to a place of believing because we hear. And I just pray in Jesus' name that you hear in line with the Bible. Sometimes the songs on the radio, they're cute and catchy. But, you know, they can be devastating to your spiritual life. You know, there's another catchy one I just heard on the Christian radio. Well, I'm 43 and I just got the news. You ain't going to be around no more. You know, why do you got to leave at 43? Hey, you don't have to leave at 43. You can leave at 103. And thank God, you know, for those that are born again and alive and they died young. Well, they died young, but that's not God's will. It's not His plan and it's not His purpose. The Bible says, with long life will I satisfy you and show you my salvation. Amen? You even obeyed your parents one lick. I tell you, I obeyed my parents. I obeyed them. I'm thankful for that. Other people didn't obey their parents, but I did obey my mom and dad. My dad wasn't a Christian, but my mother was. But I listened to them. So I should be living long on the face of the earth because of that scripture, that promise of God. And so there's many things that we come to an understanding of believing in our heart, but it comes first with coming through this mind gate, coming through your mind. And so it says in 1 Peter 1 verse 8, in whom having not seen you love, talking about Jesus, and though you see him not, yet believing you rejoice with joy unspeakable. You've got a faith, you've got a confidence in God. You haven't seen Almighty God. You didn't see him on the cross. You didn't see him die and rise from the dead, and yet you believe it. How do you believe it? The only possible way is that God Almighty gave you the capacity to believe on the inside of you. And the more believing in the Word of God, in line with the Word of God, the better you and my life is going to be. Hallelujah. As we continually soak and saturate on God's Word and get our believing just filled up on the inside of us and say, I believe that. I believe in prosperity. I believe in health and healing. Have you ever been sick? Of course I've been sick. Before COVID, there was that one day before the word COVID came out, I was so sick. I was laid out all Saturday. I was just in pain and numb. I could not move. Isn't that wonderful? You brought COVID to Thunder Bay. Anyways, I was sick and I couldn't move, barely even. I thought, wow, look at this, how sick I am. But thank God he brought me out. Amen? And he'll bring you out as well. Because God's word doesn't fail. And if you die, oh well, hallelujah, we've got glory. I've got streets of gold. I've got the saints of old. I'm looking forward. But the Apostle Paul says, it's more needful that you stay alive for other people to be blessed, to come to the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. God needs you on earth. Everybody say, God needs me. On earth. Amen. Sometimes I hear people say, oh, well, God needed him in heaven. He don't need you in heaven right now. Absolutely not. Amen. He's got billions of people. I'm sure he can handle the situation. He wants you here and he wants you now. He wants you thinking clear. He wants you filled with the Spirit of God. He wants you a blessing. Amen. He wants that smile on your face. He wants that loving hand, that touch, amen, to be a blessing unto somebody. He wants that prayer, that intercession, that giving of thanks. He needs you on earth. In Proverbs 27 and 23 and verse 7, it says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. How can your heart think? I cannot understand it, but it does. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So whatever's in that heart is going to come out of that mouth. It's going to come out of those actions. So the first one is thinking right. Everybody say thinking right. Amen. We got to think right. Romans 8, verse 6, it says here, to be carnally minded is death. Okay, right there. And to be spiritually minded is life and peace. I use this so many times. I love this scripture. Why? Because if I'm disturbed, if I'm distraught, if I'm emotionally a basket case, I immediately say, hey, right there, stop it. Stop. Bad Kenny. You're bad. Why? To be spiritually minded is life and peace. Who likes life and who likes peace here? Yeah. Amen. All of us should like life and like peace. Amen. Oh, I just love peace and I love life and life more abundantly. I love when I can fellowship with God and have a peace that passes all understanding. I've got the peace of God just like a river. You know, the psalm says, he'll lead me beside beautiful streams. Amen. Peaceful things. All the world is so full of turmoil. And Satan, in his great plan of schemes, got the Christians fighting one against another. You're vaccinated. You're not vaccinated. I said you're not vaccinated. I said I'm vaccinated. You know? Yeah, they're both. It could be crazy. Amen? But thanks be unto God who always causes us to triumph. Woo! It means if I'm not vaccinated, I can triumph? Yeah. Hey, if I'm vaccinated, I can triumph? Yeah. Amen. He causes us always to triumph in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. I triumph in Christ Jesus. He's the one who causes us to triumph. So we got to think right. To be carnally minded is death. So if you're thinking negative, if you're thinking destruction, if you're thinking downhill slope, guess what? That is carnally minded. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Jesus Christ has given me a sound mind. Amen. He's given us life and peace. I thank God for the life and life more abundantly. And I thank God for the peace that passes all understanding. Hallelujah. The world can just blow up and I could just be praising God. Amen. Before church this morning, I was just driving in my vehicle and I was just praising God, saying, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. What are you praising him about? I'm praising him because I can. Amen. I can do it because it's my will. You got a will too. So I drive in my vehicle. I said, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Glory be to God. And a beautiful little tune comes out. I'd love to sing it again for you, but, you know, it's just one of those things. It comes and goes. And it had great sound. It was awesome. You would have loved it. Amen. It was just so sweet, and it just picked up my spirit and lifted me right up. Amen? Why? Because you're singing. You're making melody unto God. You're thanking him. Hallelujah. Not looking at your problems, your worries, your distractions, those things that try to put you down. No, I'm thinking about my Heavenly Father. And thank God for you, every single one of you that believe and that trust in God, that know that God has better things in store than you're experiencing right now. Doesn't matter. It's good right now. You know, sometimes I say jobs and better jobs. Well, hey, you might not want another job. You may love your job and thank God for your job. Amen. So you don't have to say, I want a better job. Why get a better job if you like your job? Amen. I wanted to get that in too. Hallelujah. Because sometimes you don't need a better job. You got a good job. But if you want a better job, you can have a better job. Hallelujah. Why? Because God is a big God. He's a full God. Amen. He wants you just rejoicing in your heart. Say, praise God. Amen. When I look at my dear little wife there in that red dress, whoo, I tell you, I think, thank God, 25 years. Amen. We've been together. And I thank God every one of those years. Every one of those years have been good. Hallelujah. It has been a blessing. Hallelujah. Did you have any turmoil? Of course we did. But still, it's a blessing. Amen. And I thank God for his ability and his provision and his watching over us. Never look at it as, oh, wow, this is it. Nothing good for me. No, that's a lie from the pit of hell. Every good and every perfect gift comes from God. Things can be better. Amen. How would you like to bless somebody financially with more finances than you've been blessing them previously? Amen. All of us should be. Yeah, I'd like to do that. Amen. It feels good to be a blessing. It feels good to give. It feels good to serve. Hallelujah. So to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Romans 8:6. In 2 Corinthians 10:5, it says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. We got to have right thinking. When negative thinking comes your way, it tries to block you. You heard Brother Dave talk about the spies and what the spies did. The spies, they went to take the promised land. They went to spy out that promised land, and they came back and they said, it's a beautiful land, just like you said. You know, God said it's beautiful. It is beautiful. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. Everything's wonderful. But there's giants there. We saw those big giants, and we were like grasshoppers in their eyes. Okay, right now, how did you take yourself and put your whole body in their big fat brain? Amen? They couldn't have. It's impossible. But yet they thought, that's the way they viewed them, that we're grasshoppers. We're grasshoppers in their eyes. No, that's a lie from the pit of hell. And so they came back and they said, we can't take the land. It's impossible to take the land. We can't take the land. But Joshua and Caleb jumped immediately forward and said, no, let us go up at once. We can take the land. We can do it. We can do it. Why? Because they were of a different spirit. They believed on the inside of us. They said, we saw God destroy all the havoc in Egypt. We saw those things. We saw those plagues, yet we were safe. We saw going through the Red Sea. We saw all kinds of things. We saw those big things that God did, marvelous, miraculous miracles, and let's go up at once and do it. It doesn't matter. And they said, we be not able. And so the majority ruled that time, and Joshua and Caleb had to suffer for another 40 years in the wilderness, walking around, you know, talking about the goodness of God in the land of the living. And finally they got out of there, and they did conquer the land, and Caleb, an 80-some-year-old man, said, look at that mountain. Joshua, I'm going to get it. What 80-year-old man's going to go take a mountain down? And yet, God Almighty enabled that 80-year-old man to take the mountain. And that mountain was nice, and it was inhabited by giants, and he whipped them all. Why? Because God Almighty is with him. Hallelujah. I was talking to my dear daughter, one of them. I won't say which one. But I said, you can speak by faith. Amen. You can speak by faith and you can love by faith. Amen. Yeah. God Almighty has given you a capacity on the inside to be such a blessing. To love gush out of you. Amen. Just to be a blessing. Why? You're doing it by faith, and then God Almighty empowers you. Hallelujah. He empowers the faint. He empowers those. He works with people, and he empowers them to do impossible things made possible. So when an imagination comes your way, you got to cast it down. Say, no, I'm not going to think on that. You can't do that. You won't be able to succeed for God. You're not going to be able to make it as a Christian. Nope, I'm going to make it. Amen? I'm going to follow God's perfect plan for my life. Everybody say, I will follow God's perfect plan for my life. Amen. And you be confident about that. You watching by live stream, be confident. Hallelujah. I'm following God's plan for my life. And then you go away. Oh, I'm not going to follow nothing. I'm going to do my own thing. No, you're going to follow God's plan. Amen. Every opportunity, I want to do God's will. Hallelujah. It says over in Romans chapter 12, not to be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds. So you got to renew your minds with the Word of God. Continually pump in the Word of God. Think on things that are true, that are lovely, that are of a good report. Think it on, it may be true, but it's not very lovely, so I'm not going to think on those things. I'm going to think on things that are going to help cleanse my mind. Because when you start to think on those things, guess what? It filters down and gets into your spirit, and then all of a sudden you got the Word of God on the inside of you. And everything's going to be okay when you got the Word of God that is in you. So number two is believing right. Everybody say believing right. So you're thinking right. You're going to think in line with God's Word, and any thought that comes by and disturbs you, you say, no, I push that aside. I'm not thinking on that. You can do this, otherwise God would be lying, and he is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Has he said it and will he not do it? And has he spoken and will he not make it good? So any suggestive thought that comes in your head that does not agree with the Bible, with the Word of God, you say, nope, I will not, I'm not going to respond to that. I'm not going to think in line with that. Amen? So because that thought wants to destroy you. That's how Satan works. He's a deceptive deceiver, a liar, and a thief. And he brings deceptive, deceiving, lying thoughts to us. And he wants us to speak them. He wants us to live them. He wants us to become part of them. I heard someone the other day talking about Satan and Adam and Eve in the garden. We think that, oh, the old snake. Well, I don't like snakes. People like snakes. There's, I'm sure if I say, who likes snakes here? Anybody like snakes? I thought I saw one finger. Anyways, okay. This is a holy group. But snakes are nasty. They're slimy. You know, they sliver around. They try to get you scared, yeah? Even if it's a garden snake. Wow. And so anyway, Satan didn't come like that to scare, you know, Eve. Ah, no. He came, I tell you, his hair was flowing. He had combed it back. You know, he had his eyebrows. He darkened his eyebrows. And he polished his teeth that day. Ding. And he said, hey, Eve. And she's, oh, are you a snake? You're actually quite attractive. Eve, I can make you as wise as, you know, what's his name? The big guy over there, you know, God. Oh, you can be as wise as God. Really? Yeah. And there's a lot of other things I could do for you that you're just going to be so popular and so wonderful. Huh? So he came actually as a deceptive deceiver and an intriguer. Amen. It's like us going on July 1st and seeing the fireworks. Wow, 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 wow. Okay, time to go home. But he's a deceptive deceiver, and he comes to intrigue your mind and to make you to look. It looks like something so glossy and so painted over. Amen. It's the burger, but it's been painted. It's been shellacked. It's been shining. It's huge. It's beautiful. And that's what deceived her. It wasn't that he scared her into it. He's a deceptive tricker. He's a deceptive tricker. And that's what Satan does. He's a master deceiver. So anybody, I don't care who you were, if you're deceived with drugs, if you're deceived with alcohol, if you're deceived with immorality or whatever, Satan glossed it over and said, this is, you can have it and you could have it now. Forget about God. He's taking his time. You know, he's as slow as molasses, but you can have it now. That's why I believe that Jesus' temptation was so mighty and so powerful. Satan says, bow down, I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world right now. Jesus said, no, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to go the way of the cross. I'm going to give my life for you. I'm going to give my life for mankind. Hallelujah, not you, Satan, but for mankind. I'm going to give up my life. And he went the hard route. And so sometimes following God, there's a hard road to hoe. But thank God the blessings are always there because that's our Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise his holy name. And so we got to be believing right. Romans 10:10 says, with the heart, man believes. So what your head says about it, yeah, we want to think in line with the Bible, but your heart has to be confident and sure of it. For with the heart, man believes. So everybody say, I believe, with the heart. So you're going to believe with the heart. That's the most beautiful thing in the world, is to have heart faith on the inside of you. I believe, therefore I've spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. God's word on the inside of us. That's why when you came to that place of salvation, when you humbled yourself and you said, Jesus, forgive me of all my sins. You meant it with your heart. Come into my heart. You meant it with all your heart. And he just walked right in and changed you and made you a new creation in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. So it's with the heart man believes. So know that from the inside of you, all the good things are there. And every one of us could walk in faith. Brother Hagin says, those people who just want to walk by feelings and Satan tries to keep them in the realm of the emotions and the feelings, they're going to be defeated every single time. But anytime you take Satan and you deal with him by faith and believing in the word of God and faith and believing, you'll whip him every time with the arena of faith. Because it's the arena of faith. We praise God by faith. We lift up holy hands by faith. Hallelujah. God on the inside of us. So that's where your believer is. So with the heart, man believes unto righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made. John 8:30, Jesus said, "As I spake these words, many believed on him." As he spake these words. Jesus was a preacher. Jesus was a teacher. And so he spoke words and the people heard and they said, "Well, I'll believe it." And some didn't believe it. The Pharisees and the Sadducees said, "No, we don't believe it." But yet the poor people, a lot of the poor people, a lot of the widows, a lot of the afflicted came and they said, "No, we will receive him. We will receive our Jesus." Hallelujah. And so when you hear the word of God, when you hear the Bible, when you hear faith-based stuff, hallelujah, it says here, "As he spake these words, many believed on him." And John 14, verse 29, it says, "Now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it come to pass, you will believe." You know, all the move of the Spirit of God is hearing God's word and doing what he said. I know when Pastor Roma mentioned about going to that small little incubator, the Lord said unto him, "Go ahead and touch that incubator. Go ahead and stick your finger in that little incubator and touch that little baby." And he touched that baby and that baby came alive. Amen. And lived and is still living today. Hallelujah, because he heard the word of the Lord. And all the move of the Spirit of God, it's hearing God's word and then putting it into practice. Amen. Isn't that exciting? It's almost like you don't even need an education. You hear God's word and you put it into practice. Thank God for education, though. But I mean, hearing God's voice is so vital and so very important because it's going to save you a million things. Whatever you have in this moment of time, everybody say, "This time right now." Is everything that you've said and believed up to this very moment of time. Isn't that something? And that means that there's so much more that we could all receive of God and say, "God, I want more of what you have for me. Lord, I want more than what you have for me. Lord, I want more than what you have for me. Lord, I want more than what you have for me. Because right now, I want more of than what I have right now." Amen? I want to know God more today than I knew him yesterday. Amen? I want to know all about his plans and his purpose. I want to know all about his desires. I want to know all about the Holy Spirit. I want to know how he leads and guides and directs. Because I've failed a million times, but yet we can still go to him and say, "Lord, hallelujah, I believe there's an open way. I believe that you've got another plan and I've got another purpose." Amen? Because that's our God. Never failing Jesus. Never failing Holy Spirit. Always leading. Always directing. Always guiding us. It's never over. Amen? Hallelujah. I know that back then when I mentioned that I did go to Bible school after reading a magazine sitting in an outhouse. But anyways, I was in Saskatchewan. I was sitting in an outhouse outside the house because we didn't have running water. Oh, bad. No running water. Anyways, and there was a box of magazines there. So I, of course, you start reading when you're in the toilet. And here there was a Word of Faith magazine. My mom says she does not know how that Word of Faith magazine got in that box. But anyways, that magazine was in there. I started looking in that and all of a sudden, because in my mind, everybody say in his mind. I was thinking to myself, you know, being a Christian, yeah, I did have an experience with God. Yeah, it was good, but it is too hard. It's too hard for me right now. And I'm having a hard time. I'm not going to be able to do it. I'm not making fun, but you probably said the same thing. And I want more of God. I need more of God. And so I said, you know, I'm gonna go to Bible school. And I did. Amen. I went to Yorkton. I went into one of those little booths. I put that quarter in. I think it was back then. I took a picture. I don't know, I'd like to see that picture. And I put it on an application and I sent it away. And I got to go to Bible school. Thank God. Amen. And thank God for Faith Life Bible School. And any place that you want to learn, grow, and develop in the Word of God. And I tell you, that just took me to another place. Hallelujah. If you go to Bible school and then just remain stagnant, you know, that's not God. God doesn't have anything to do with that. That has everything to do with yourself. Because after I finished Bible school, there was so much trials. There was so much temptations. I tell you, it was horrible. Absolutely horrible. So I got seeking God again. And then I married Cindy. It was another good move. Took me up another level. And then after that, well, then it's then we moved to Thunder Bay. That took me up another level. Then I met Pastor Steve. That took me up another level. No, that actually took me up the biggest level. And I met Pastor Roma, and he welcomed me so kindly into his life and into his ministry, which was just absolutely wonderful. Amen. Because sometimes we don't understand all things, but we need to continually grow. If you're backsliding and you're in sin, you gotta say, "Hey, what's going on here? Let's take an account of my life. Was I any better spiritually anywhere else?" No. Right now, today, you should be the most spiritually fit as ever before. Amen. As you continually walk with God and continually seek His face. And do His plan, and do His will, and do His purpose. Hallelujah. So we got to think right, and we got to believe right. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So the third thing is, we've got to speak right and act right. Everybody say, speak right. And then act right. Your speaking and your acting is so vitally important, but it's all wrapped up in how you think and what you believe. You ain't going to do anything until you usually think about it or act on it. Amen? If you're going to rob a bank, for instance, what are you going to do? You're just going to go rob the bank? No, you would have to think about it. You would have to ponder it. You would have to get it all calculated and figured out probably for months and months and months. Now, you wouldn't want to rob a bank anyways, but I'm just giving an illustration of what you have to think about. Amen? And if you're going to do that with your life, you've got to think about it. Amen? You've got to think positive, you've got to think in line with the Bible, and you've got to believe right in line with the Bible, and then you've got to go ahead and act it out. Acting out what God desires for your life. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 4, I don't believe it's on the list, but it's 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 4, it says, "He that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips they speak no guile." You got to refrain your tongue from evil and your lips that they speak no guile. That's 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10. Can you put that up? So, for he that will love life and see good days. Who wants good days here? Anybody? Yeah. Amen. Let him refrain his tongue from evil. So, evil is not just like, you know, it's not just cussing. Evil can be a gossip to a whole nother level. It could be speaking negative about some situation that maybe you don't have any information on it and you're not even correct or right about it. You could be full of doubt and full of unbelief. That is evil. God looks at that as evil. If we say, "I'm not going to believe it. I don't believe you got a plan for my life. And I don't believe this. And I don't believe that." Well, in God's mind, in God's understanding, that is evil. "For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips, they speak no guile." And so if we want to see good life, if we want to see good days, then we're going to have to watch what comes out of our mouth. We're going to have to speak in line with the Bible. Speak in line with what God's Word says. "He that love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips they speak no guile." Over in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 34, Matthew 12 and verse 34, it says here, "O generation of vipers." Now, I couldn't understand why Jesus, you know, we always look at Jesus as so meek and mild and mannered, and he is a wonderful Savior, and he is a wonderful Lord, but sometimes he could be a little bit rough, and he can be a little bit challenging in some areas. When I got born again, there was a Pentecostal preacher in Saskatchewan. I wasn't following God at all. I was doing my own thing, and I thought I could, you know, be able to direct my life. When I get older, I won't take the mark of the beast, of course, and just make it in by the skin of my teeth. And so that was my game plan. And so I was, after a weekend of roaming around like a coyote, like people do, and then I came home on there, and my parents weren't at home, and I looked out the window, and here the Pentecostal preacher drives up. I said to myself, well, I'm just going to talk to him about old vehicles and get him out of the house. You know, I have no time for this Pentecostal preacher at all. Not today. There's something hurting in my head, and I don't know what it is. But anyways, that's what I said to myself. He comes, he knocks on the door. I let him in, and he says, I don't want to talk to you about old vehicles today. Ooh. Have you ever been caught off guard? And he caught me off guard. I don't like to be caught off guard, but he caught me off guard. And he says, I don't want to talk to you about old vehicles today. I said, oh? He says, how is it with your soul? And where will you spend eternity? I looked at him, and then he said something that really hurt me very much. He said, when you're in hell burning, your friends are going to rip your eyes out because you knew the way of salvation and you never told them. He said a short prayer and left. But I didn't give my heart to God that moment. Though it hurt me deeply. I still wanted to hold out a little bit longer. Just a little bit longer. But that really, really, really hurt me. You know, because I thought friends were important. And friends are good. Everybody needs a friend. Have a friend in Jesus. Amen. And friends are nice. But, you know, friends come and friends go. And friends can be good and friends can be bad. And so forth and so on. But there's none like Jesus. Amen. Thank God for friends. But that really devastated me and it really cut me. So when Jesus said, oh, generation of vipers, he's talking to religious folk. Isn't that something? And did you know that Cain and Abel, when they brought their offerings to God, Abel's offering was accepted. Cain brought an offering too. He was religious too. He brought an offering. So that's something to think about in the house of God, that there can be people that, you know, can be of doing things that are contrary to the will and the plan of God. But he told those Pharisees, he says, you generation of vipers. That's just horrible words. I wouldn't want to hear that. How you being evil speak good things. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so whatever is in your heart is going to come out of your mouth. And God wants good things to come out of our mouth. Lying and based on the word of God. Over in James chapter 3, which is a marvelous book. I'm going to read from that as we close. James chapter 3. I've read James many times. James is a book, if you're ever having a tough time, if you're ever going through some tests and some trials, go ahead and read James. He'll bless your socks off. So it says in James chapter 3. Now we're talking about thinking right, we're talking about believing right, and now we're talking about speaking and acting right. In James chapter 3, it says, my brethren, be not many masters. In the King James, that would be teachers. Knowing that we shall receive a greater condemnation. What that means is that the teachers will be judged more strictly and more harshly than anybody else. Because they're teaching the word of God. And there's multitudes that can follow people and actually follow them right in error. And so God always wants the teachers to know that they'll be judged stricter and stronger than anybody else because you have to teach exactly what the Word of God. There was a great man of God, William Branham, and it's recorded for all. Brother Hagin had a word for him. He said that the Lord mentioned that he was going to be actually taken off the scene because he was teaching things in error. And if you go on his things, he's got a lot of things where he hit were perfectly. The move of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit were perfect. But then he was teaching some things that were contrary to the Word of God. So teachers are judged more strictly. My brother, be not many masters or teachers knowing that they receive a greater condemnation or they'll be judged more in what they say. For in many things, now he's talking to everybody, number two, in many things we offend all. If any offend not in word. Everybody say, offend not in word. We're talking about speaking, thinking, believing, and speaking. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect or mature man, able to bridle his whole body. And that's what I pray I would be able to get, and I pray you would be able to get, not offend people in word. Amen? Just to be a blesser and be a speaker and to have your speech seasoned with grace, that you're bringing edification, exhortation, blessing unto people. For in many things we offend all. But if any offend not in word, the same is a mature man, able also to bridle the whole body. Verse 3, behold, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. A big horse is turned with just a little bridle. It says, and they obey us, and we turn about the whole body. And behold, the ships, although they be so great, are driven with fierce winds, yet they are turned with a little helm. Wherever the governor turns it, that big ship is moved. Number 5, even so the tongue is a little member and boasts of great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. Verse 6, for with the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defiles our whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. Verse 7, for every kind of beast, birds, serpents, things in the sea tamed and hath been tamed by mankind. Verse 8, but the tongue can no man tame. Thank God, God can tame our tongue. Amen. The tongue can no man tame. It is unruly, evil, full of deadly poison. We bless God our Father, and we curse men who are made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not so to be. Does a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter water? No. Can a fig tree, my brother, bear olive berries, or a vine figs? No. So no fountain can yield salt water and fresh water. Verse 13, who is the wise man endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of his good conversation his words and his works with humility of wisdom. Verse 14, but if you have bitter envying, again, envying and speaking negative, if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descends not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom from above, everybody say above. Above. The wisdom from above is pure, I like that. Is peaceable, I like that. Peacemakers, is gentle, I like that. Easy to be entreated, I like that. Amen. Easy to go up to an individual and just be a blessing unto them. Full of mercy, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. So that's James, and he talks about the tongue. Isn't that a good verse of scripture that it talks about? Out of our mouths should flow blessings. Amen. Out of our mouths should flow blessings. So if we could have the musicians. And so we're talking about thinking, we're talking about believing, and we're talking about speaking right. That's so vital and so important. Hallelujah. Did anybody receive anything from this message? Amen? Hallelujah. Now there's just a little thing I want to, if they could play softly. But there's a little thing that it really encouraged me. And it was called the anchor holds. Amen. And so, because there's many things that we go, let's all stand, hallelujah. And did you know that there's many things that come to our lives? Some are very devastating and harsh, you know, and I feel for every single one of you, absolutely every single one that would go through a hard time, a test and a trial. But know that through every test and trial, guess what? God still wants us to think right. God still wants us to speak right, believe right, and speak right. He still wants us to act right. He still wants us to go on. Hallelujah. When someone loses a loved one, that's devastating. Amen. That's nothing to be mocked about or laughed. It's something that's serious. An individual is going through a tough time. Hallelujah. It's going through a hard time. And when other situations come in life, you know, young people go through so much. You know, they go through tests. They go through trial. They go through all kinds of things. And it's horrible what they go through. I thank God that I'm over that part. I got other things to be concerned about. But anyways, the young people, I tell you, God must give them a special grace. But I want to read this song to you as we close. And it's about someone that went through a real tough time. And so you got to know that you got to think right. And you got to believe right. And you got to speak right. Amen? So it says here, this man who wrote this song, he says here, I have journeyed through a long dark night out on the open sea, by faith alone, sight unknown, and yet his eyes were watching me. The anchor holds, though the ships be battered. The anchor holds, though the sails are torn. I fall on my knees as I face the raging seas, and the anchor holds. In spite of the storm, I've seen visions and I have dreams. I've even held them in my hand, and I never knew that they would soon slip through like grains of sand. But the anchor holds. Though the ship is battered, the anchor holds. Though the seas are torn, I've fallen on my knees. I've faced the raging seas, and the anchor holds. In spite of the storm, I've been young, and now I'm old. And there has been beauty that these eyes have seen. And it was in the night and through the storms of God. That's where God proved his love for me. The anchor holds, though the ship is battered. The anchor holds, though the sails are torn. I have fallen on my knees as I face the raging seas. The anchor holds. In spite of the storms, I've fallen on my knees as I face the raging seas. The anchors hold in spite of the storm. And you know, that little song, that little phrase, it just blessed me. Because we all go through things. If you didn't think you went through anything, you got another thing coming. Because we all face tests. We all face trials. We all face disappointments. We all face hurts. You know, one of the hurtful things, and I'm not thinking of any single person, but one of the hurtful things is divorce. It's absolutely a killer. I talked to one individual. He said, it's like my heart was ripped right out of me. And it's horrible. But yet we face things, and through it all, God pulls them through. Amen. And God will pull you through. Hallelujah. Let's thank him this morning. Father, we want to thank you that through anything that anybody here is going through, and there could be some that have it all together, and thank God for that through your grace and through your mercy. But I would say a majority of the people are going through tests and trials and temptations, things that are out of their control. And so they look to you, they trust in you. And we want to thank you, Father, for holding them steady. Hallelujah. That their minds would be steady, that they would be held up by your loving hands. Hallelujah. The Word of God declares that he is touched with the feelings of our infirmities, and he knows every feeling that we feel. He knows every emotion that we feel. He knows it all. He's felt it. He knows it. He's experienced it. And so we want to say thank you, Lord God. I pray for each one here. Thank you for your presence. Hallelujah. Thank you for your power and your ability. Hallelujah. Let's lift up our hands if you can and just thank him. Hallelujah. That he's pulling you through and you will not be shaken. Hallelujah. Though in the natural it's very shaky, but yet in the spiritual, you're the one that holds us. And so we want to say thank you. Oh, Father, we praise you. Hallelujah.